Do you experience digital eye strain from too much blue light exposure from digital screens? Baxter Blue glasses aren't your average frames. These blue light lenses filter 80% of the highest energy blue light, eliminating 99% of the glare. The past year, we all have been glued to our devices more than ever. I myself, literally on my phone, then on my iPad, then on the TV, then on my computer. Literally on my phone 99% of the time, like watching TikTok. It is so insane. So our exposure to digital light has soared and our eyes and our sleep are suffering as a result. Baxter Blue is also a force for good and provides a pair of reading glasses for someone in need for every pair sold. This is eyewear built for our digital age, and Baxter Blue is giving our listeners 10% of their next purchase for blue light, sleep, or kids' glasses. Click the link in our show notes for your exclusive discount. This is a sign you have been waiting for to invest in blue light glasses. We know you will love Baxter's. We know that you will feel the difference. Hey guys, so welcome to the show. So today I have a very special guest. Her name is Nicole Rose. She's an entrepreneur, she's a music director, she's a DJ, she's a content creator, she does it all. Most of you guys probably have seen her recently on HBO Max from Big Shot with Bethany. It was such a fun show. I watched it all. It was really, really fun. We are talking a little bit about that and also a little bit about her career and her journey becoming a DJ and just making in this world. So there's so many valuable tips in this episode. So I can't wait you guys to hear it. Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for coming to Wild and Basic.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So please introduce yourself a little bit and so our audience can get to know you.
Yeah, well, let's see. I go by Nicole Rose. If you ever watched The Big Shot with Bethany, then you already know that. If you haven't watched The Big Shot with Bethany, you should because it's quite entertaining, or, you know, maybe I'm biased. I am a DJ, a podcaster, a content creator, and I have a mentorship program launching this summer. So I'm weird. I'm crazy. I'm different. I'm funky. I like fashion and music. Does that work?
Oh yeah, that's amazing. This is perfect for the podcast because this podcast is literally like all about being somewhat crazy and somewhat like over there. So you just fit right in. Because I remember I was like stalking your Instagram just to, you know, see like what's your personality like, you know, what are you like? And I saw the video you posted, you know, from HBO. Yeah. And you were saying that, oh my God, we are going to be best friends. Like we're going to be bonding. And you were like, you know, saying in the caption, you were like, I am like extreme in both scenarios. Like you are like.
I'm definitely that person. I work hard. I play hard. It's like Wild and Basic. Right?
I cannot really. I relate to this so much because I am exactly the same way. Like if I have like thought in my head and I immediately I'm just like, yeah, I have to try like everything. I just go way hard. Or like I just like, and I sometimes like even like same way like with people too. It's like I say things so bluntly. But like not to just like offend them, but it's more like I just like say it because I feel like that's just like in my personal opinion, like honest thoughts.
Totally.
So I totally relate to that. So let's like roll back a little bit because I want you to just like, I want people to understand your story as well. So I am sure because right now, you know, you have a verified account and you also had like, you know, HBO and everything, but I'm sure, you know, things just didn't start that easy. Like it takes so much to just get there. And I'm sure you had so many challenges to, you know, to reach to this point. Do you have something on top of your head that like you overcame and you were kind of like, wow, this taught me a lot, or just something that like you still remember for some reason?
I think that's such a good question, by the way. And I think not enough people ask that, and we can all learn from each other, right? Like I'm sure there's plenty of people listening who have stories that they could tell us about something they overcame that would teach you and I something, right? So there's so many moments. I think one of the biggest things that has really kind of shaped my career path was you know, I used to have a traditional marketing jobs at first, and then I became director of social media for an agency. I was pretty young. I was working very hard, probably like 7 days a week, and making great money at a young age. And I realized that I was unfulfilled and that I had a lot of skills because I had been in corporate for almost 5 years, but that I truly wanted to work for myself and pursue something I was more passionate about, aka DJing. And that was a really hard thing to tell your parents, right? You know, who put you through education, who worked very hard to build everything that they had. They didn't, you know, just have tons of money and were willing to support me if I failed. Like, that was very scary to them, especially my mom, who's, you know, comes from a family of Italian immigrants. So they really truly had like $5 to their name when they came to the US. So for her to be a doctor and then have me be like, I'm gonna go be a DJ now, she was like, uh-uh. What?
Like, no, no, what are you saying?
Yeah. So you know, I think just it's good for a lot of reasons, because even, you know, you of course need some people to believe in you, and everybody came around, but it does light a fire under your ass, right? Because you're like, damn, I really don't want to let anyone down. It's not even so much like you want to prove anybody wrong. For me, it's not a chip on my shoulder. It's more like, okay, I went out on a limb now. Like, I better succeed. I don't want to let anybody down. And it's also about not disappointing yourself. And I think every time you push yourself past a new challenge, you realize how much higher you can go. You know, every time, and even every time something fails, I've had a lot of failures in business too. Just DJing's not one of them, but there have been quite a few. And every time you survive that, you realize it's not the end of the world. You realize you can, you know, dust yourself off and get it moving again.
Yeah. And I think because you have such a strong personality, and I think because, like, even from like just talking to you, I can tell you're a go-getter. Like, you're just like, that doesn't work, let's try something else and let's move on. And I'm like, I totally can like understand that, because I think even like just, you know, growing on social media from the outside, people just think that it's just like all like so glamorous, so easy, snap a selfie, snap a pic, just get a brand deal like that, like it's cool. But I'm just saying there's so much goes behind the scenes, and so much happens to just build it out there. And especially like something you're talking about, like being a DJ, like even if you were a guy, like no one takes you seriously. I mean, come on. Like, you're, unless you are like David Guetta, like I'm just saying, you know, like it's very hard to build. So I can totally understand that, like, you just taking that path and like, you know, just challenging yourself to just keep going. I think that's just so inspiring. Especially because I know so many people that who are doing like regular job, and I think like that's something I want us to like mention a little bit, is like there's nothing wrong with having a regular job, like for that, sure. You know, getting a decent paycheck and everything, but I think there are things that people don't understand, is like people don't just be like, yeah, I want to just do some random hustle or whatever. It's just because what you are doing right now does not fulfill you. Because I think there's something I remember my dad told me, he said if you when you find a job you love, you're never going to work the day in your life, because you love it so much, and it never feels like work. But like, you know, when you are kind of stuck through something just because it's just only money, that doesn't really, you know, pertain and help you at all. Right.
Totally. I think there's a lot of value in what you're saying. And I also think, there's two sides to that. People that are in a traditional job that are working in more of a corporate environment, I think that it's helpful to point out the positives and laser focus in on those and make sure that you manage up and you ask for more, you know, room for improvement, more projects that are more aligned with your own personal mission, and make sure that you check in with yourself every year. You should be reassessing your goals. You should be looking at your personal. I look at my mission for myself every single day, and that helps me decide what I'm going to do today, how I'm going to focus, how I'm going to handle different opportunities. And so just staying really aligned, right? If you are within that corporate type of environment, can help you feel like you are making a difference. And then for me, yeah, you're right. It was that I didn't feel like I was making a difference, and I knew that I had a calling, right? Like what you're saying, like my soul, it sounds deep, but like my soul inside of me knew that I was supposed to kind of help empower women in some way. And I didn't know what that was. And I guess, you know, by going off on a less traditional path and becoming a DJ against a lot of odds, that, you know, I did this 8 years ago, so there were no girl, there wasn't like a model DJ trend at that time. That, you know, that it's a different path, and that kind of also fulfilled my overall mission, which we're still realigning all the time and building new things that fit it, if that makes
sense. And one thing I also want to add is, like, I think something else that people don't understand is that, like, there are people who just love, you know, doing 9 to 5 and everything, and they absolutely love the, like, what they do. I have, like, my older sister, she works in accounting and she loves it. Like, it's just her thing and everything. But I just think there are also people that who are just not meant to be working 9 to 5, who are just very entrepreneur mind. And that's just, like, a very different thing. And that's why I think sometimes, like, you don't see your calling in the beginning. It's just very hard. I think nowadays, you know, because of TikTok and everything, people are just thinking, like, oh, there's so many people who built businesses over, you know, pandemic and everything. I have to build something on my own and everything. Like, it feels so pressured, you know. They're like, oh, I have FOMO, you know, like, maybe I have to be building some sort of a big business. But I think you have to go a little deeper to understand is that, like, what is your calling actually? And it's very hard, honestly, because I remember legit, like, when I graduated from college, I didn't think I was going to be doing this. I legit was just, like, applying for graphic design jobs. Like, I was like, oh, I'm just going to be working at a corporate, maybe MTV, Viacom or something. But then I started creating, like, side gig, like, literally just making content for Fanta, Coca-Cola. Then it just turned, somehow it escalated into the content creation. But literally in a million years, I never thought this is something I would be doing.
I love that. And that means it was the right journey, right? Because, I mean, those clients kind of found you or you found them. And then you know, I don't think any of it should be forced, right? Like you're saying, like.
Exactly. That's what I want to say. I feel like when something feels so natural, that's when you know you're just like, this is it. Like, because I feel like when you're forcing something, it's just so hard to make it work. Like, so hard, because I remember that's one thing we'll talk about it more later on, because I think people sometimes force businesses, like, force to create businesses, especially because, like, you know, nowadays age, everyone is like, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner, I'm this. But I think we have to also think a little bit deeper, is like, is this a business I want to build? Is this something I am really, really passionate about? Because I think money is one thing. Money is great that, you know, you can get from your business, but it's not the main goal.
Totally.
You know,
well,
because
some people,
obviously,
it is,
you know,
some people's main goal.
Yeah,
you're right. Sometimes I wonder, like, you know, that was one thing I thought about Bethany and I learning, you know, on the Big Shot with her and learning from her, which obviously there was a ton of growth for me there because she's, you know, so successful. But I think, like,
of course,
maybe money is her, like, number one goal. And for me, it's, like, totally, like, the people I can touch and the experiences that I can have. And so, like, that, once again, makes us just, like, really different. And you should probably work with people who have, like, similar values in that sense. Does that make sense?
I agree. No, because I remember even for myself, like, when my Instagram took over, and honestly, I'm being serious, like, I didn't even know you can make money with it, like, or you can be, like, a full-time thing. I was just like, oh my God, I'm, like, meeting some really famous people, or, like, getting to these famous events that are, like, some actors are in or something. I was like, okay, like, this is cool, like, but I didn't realize, like, I can actually, like, make full-time living or something. And then, honestly, that's one reason when I was, like, looking for managers and everything, I was like, oh, this is, like, legit, like, this is, like, a business that, like, people can, like, make shit ton of money and, like, with collaborations and everything. But I'm just saying, like, that's not really in my agenda. I was like, wow, this is so cool. I like being with people. I like sharing my thoughts about certain things and, like, you know, the products and everything. But I see your point. I think, like, it's each differs to certain people for sure. But I think my main takeaway is that, like, I feel like you kind of have to sort of give value. You can't just be expecting money, making money, because, you know, people don't just buy that things that easily, because maybe in the past, yes, but I feel like consumers are so smart now. You can't just be like, I'm going to buy an ad. They're going to buy it because they saw the ad. Like, it's not going to be that easy.
Totally agree. I mean, people are hit now more with more ads than ever before in their life. And even when I started out in my marketing career, we used to say that it would take a customer a potential customer 7 times to convert to a purchase. And I think you've probably seen that double. I mean, that was back in, like, 2010. I don't know exactly what the research is today, but I bet it's doubled because there's, you know, 10 times more platforms and more ads coming from every single, like, I mean, you go on a website and it's ads popping here and ads at the top and ads down the side. And you look in Gmail and there's ads in TikTok. There's ads all over Instagram and IGTV videos. It's like, you know, we're bombarded now with so many things to buy and so many options and so many ways to purchase them.
I know, right? So back to like how you started, how did you like, was there a point that like you were doing and you were like, oh, this is my breakthrough moment? You were kind of like, oh, wow, this is happening. Like people are noticing me. Was there a time like because of certain occasion or event?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like you said too, right? That if it feels forced, it's probably the wrong thing. I don't know if anybody out there who's listening is considering starting something and it's just not happening naturally and it's feeling really stressful. With DJing for me, it felt very natural. I just like told a few friends I was going to do it, played a few places, and then all of a sudden everybody was calling and I wasn't like making top dollar yet, but you know, I could see that I was able to leave, you know, I didn't have to work a different job to be able to pay all my bills. Like, it's not like I was living rich. Like I was like getting by. Yeah. I wasn't going shopping every single week, but I was comfortable. I wasn't like in a bad place, you know, very quickly, like just like a month or two after starting. So, you know, that's probably a sign, just like how it was for you with the design work and the content creation, that it's like moving in the right direction. You're moving towards your calling. You're on the right path. Now, on the contrary, there was an experience that I had with a company that I was dying to build a couple of years ago called Rose Rockers. It was a headphone company that I had invested money into, had also put a ton of time into, had even raised capital for. And every single time I turned the corner, there was a new problem. I mean, it was like, we have this issue with our factory. Now we have this issue with the product. Now we have this issue with the testing. Now we have this issue. I mean, it was like, it wasn't even like problems that money could solve. And then the pandemic, then we finally got an, you know, a purchase order to move with a big distributor, and we got into all the trade shows, and then the pandemic hit. And I was just like, you know what?
Damn.
I think I need to read the signs. You know, I mean, I think that when it's truly the right thing, it's not going to feel so stressful, right? Like you're forcing.
Right. No, I totally get that. And I think one thing I also like, I have to say, I admire was used like I will say, like I struggle this myself. Confirm if you are too. It's like, because you know, when you're a content creator, but also you are creating your own business, what happens is like sometimes with me is like when I focus too much on my business, then my content creation side suffers. But when I focus on my content creation, where I have like deal with brands and everything, then I'm just like, oh, my business, my brand is there. Like I feel like it's just so hard to juggle. Especially that's one reason I feel like, you know, when you look at like Kylie or like Kim and everything, yeah, they had like brand deals in the beginning, but they turned into entrepreneur. Like all they promote nowadays is like their stuff. Yeah, they're promoting their maybe sister stuff, like 818, you know, the Kendalls, but like it's all their own businesses. They're not doing other businesses, maybe once in a while, but not all the time. I just realized this for myself, the hub time, not time consuming. I mean, I appreciate all the, you know, brand deals I get and everything, but I realized like how much that actually affects us as content creators too.
Yeah, no, so it's so funny. Everybody's like, oh, we only want to pay this rate and it's going to only be a 15 minute shoot and you can post it in a few weeks, no big deal. And then they're
lies, lies.
Who paid you less than they should have is stalking you. They need it now. They want you to change your photo selection. You know, can you edit it like this? And it's just like, whoa.
I know. It's crazy. It is insane. And this thing is not going to lie. Like before TikTok and Instagram becoming so mainstream, it was a lot easier and people were like not expecting too much. But now they are like checking your engagement rate, checking how many likes you got, checking how many comments you got, not even just your conversion rate. They're like, oh, we like this content. Can you actually make exactly the same content? But I'm like, you just said you want us to be creative.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think there's very little. That is something that's challenging about influencer work is that, you know, brands that are a little too hands-on, if they kind of strangle you, you know, then you're not really able to have creative license over it. And I don't, for me, then it feels more like work if I don't have the ability to be, you know, to have some freedom within the content creation. But I think what you're saying is also something that's very true. That's a struggle for me. And I'm still trying to figure out how to balance it. Is that, you know, it's very easy to, not very easy. It's good. It's for me, I have no problem like being super focused on my business, growing that, you know, winning new clients, moving the podcast forward, all that. Or it's like, I'm doing really well on social. Everybody's really engaged. The content's on point. We're shooting new stuff all the time. We're making video and reels and whatever. And yeah, I think it's tough to do all of it and get super organized. But I think what it comes down to for me is knowing exactly what times of day, like micromanaging my own schedule, or else then I'll just get lost in social media. So yeah. I try to start work a little earlier, spend my mornings doing those few tasks that I think will really affect the bottom line of like the actual business. And then I try to do afternoons for more like social media engagement, content creation, photo shoots, editing, that type of work. So that, or set it up by days, right? Like Tuesday is a day that I like set aside for Instagram, you know, and I know that I'm going to make content for the next week, you know? So I try to batch it and then just be really mindful about my energy during each day from morning to night and slot stuff in where, you know, the most highest revenue generating things in the morning. And then, you know, social media I can do with a glass of wine, a glass of rosé.
Yeah. Perfect. But would you say you're going more towards like the entrepreneur side, or you would say like you can also like dabble in with just content creation?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I think of myself as an entrepreneur, right? Cause I had, you know, I had a headphone line that we only shut down recently, mainly because our fulfillment issues are with COVID and our factory being overseas. Everything just got really, really tangled. And, where I'm focused on different initiatives right now. So
yeah.
I guess for me, I consider myself, you know, an entrepreneur and a content creator, but I think, you know, with the entrepreneur side of it, I have more things to build out. Like you said, I would like to have another product line of my own at some point. It probably won't be headphones. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be.
No, for sure. I think I'm not going to lie. I feel like it is very difficult to be an entrepreneur. It's never like an easy way. I think people always think that like, you know, you just, yeah, like I just launch a product and go with it. You know, it's not that easy. There's always like trial and like you test things and everything. So it's definitely a journey that, you know, you have to take, and you have to also remember that it might fail and you might have to start over.
Of course. And it's more than likely, right? It's like something like 90% of small businesses fail within the first year or two. So it's also just kind of like being willing to just try it anyway. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
Don't be hard on yourself, you know, like let any of that fear of failure go. And if it does, you know, make sure that you're not working, you know, working over your means with that business or whatever. So it doesn't put you in a bad place, but you know, and then I fully believe that it's like you could keep something a side hustle until it's really time to like let it spread its wings and fly.
For sure. And I think also being an entrepreneur, you also meet so many other people. I feel like it's such a crazy community that you can, you don't know who you will meet and who you can, you know, connect with and actually meet people. I know you talked about, you know, supporting women. And I think that's so important, especially nowadays. People think that like, you know, there are, like everyone treated equally. I think there's still like, you know, so many things, because not gonna lie, there's a story I want to tell you. Like, I remember the time I was looking for a manager, there are people specifically told me, make sure you get a guy manager, because most likely if you get a girl one, your rate will be like down, like very low comparing to other people. So they were like, you know, if it is a guy, they can even ask for more. But if it is a girl, there's a chance that they might even do lower.
And I hate to even confirm that that's true, but I've had that experience in my own business that like I've had to tell. I love working with women, so I love having female members of my team. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes I have to give them a pep talk to go and then negotiate more for us. And I'm like, it's going to benefit you too. Ask for more. Can't hurt. The worst they can say is no, you know? And I'll be like, you know, the guys would do it. The guys just, I think, oh, that's like, I mean, there's so many like limiting beliefs that we carry around as women that maybe come from generations and generations and are passed down to us. Right. And so women in general too are like, we're creators, we're kind of peacemakers, we want to be fair. So I think we undersell ourselves, and then we tend to even undersell each other. But I do know that someone else selling me, regardless of male or female, usually gets more than I get selling myself, you know?
No, and I think also they're legit, like in this podcast, I had so many women entrepreneurs or just women creators on this podcast, and they're super, super successful. I'm just trying to say, like, I feel like there's so many women there who are successful, and they deserve well paid, and they deserve equal rights too, like for everything that we are going through. But it's just so sad that like there's still things like this exist, because people really don't believe that. Like when you say it, I'm just like, yeah, it might be 2021, a year change, but like things are still the same. Like I feel like there's things that like people say it's changing. Maybe it will change more and more. But I think that's one, even I say this to other content creators I meet, like women, that like I'm like, this is how much I got paid, because sometimes we work on the same collaborations and everything. I'm like, yeah, you can add, because this is how much it is. So like, because that's why sometimes even I talk, I'm like, because I don't want us to underbuy us and like just so you get less money or anything, because I think it's very important to, doesn't matter woman or I mean person of color or anything, I think it's important to just be as a community one person and just like support each other. Because one thing I learned honestly is like being a content creator, I always thought like it's just like, it's so lonely just being by yourself and always creating a content and everything.
Yeah.
In the beginning, honestly, I just didn't realize how lonely it was. Like it does get super lonely. But then I realized like having a community, and that's why like I'm so grateful for this podcast, that like I meet so many great people like you, and like just, you know, connecting with them and everything. It's amazing, you know, to just sharing their stories and learning yeah. about it, and also to understanding it also that like you are not alone. There are people who are in the similar path, same path, who are also going through the same struggles. It just makes it so much better.
Yeah, podcast is a great connection tool, you know, connect with your audience, connect with other really interesting people that can also help teach. So yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
Right. So speaking of podcasts, you also have your own podcast. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So it's called Big Queen Energy. I've actually been podcasting for a while. That podcast has been live for almost a year. I rebranded recently to Big Queen Energy in 2021 because I actually used the mantra, I'm a fucking queen, when I was filming The Big Shot with Bethany to kind of yeah. pump myself up. You know, that mm-hmm. was actually one of the hardest things I had ever done, was filming that show. I mean, there were, I mean, some of the challenges were difficult, and then the added pressure of other contestant drama and, you know, 20 cameras in your face. And it really, there were days that did where you like really had to work on feeling centered and grounded and being able to be in the mind space where you could really achieve at your mm-hmm. highest while everybody's like, you know, clamoring at each other. So yeah, we rebranded to Big Queen Energy, and we talk about mindsets, mindset hacks, manifestation tips, routines that can create more success in your life. It is geared toward women and, you know, Gen Z and millennial women. So just kind of everything that can help them live their best life. There's some businessy aspects to it, but it is really just about aligning your own mind and your own vibration. So that you can attract your dreams.
Yeah. Anything you learned from your guests, from your podcast, that you're like, wow, I'm going to apply this in my life. Anything you can share?
Yeah. So much stuff, right? Like so yeah,
I
much.
I bet.
Like the value of sleep, right? The value of downtime for creatives, right? That's a good mm-hmm. one. I should send that one to right, you.
For sure.
You interview him. You guys would definitely get along. But the one that's coming to my mind right now is Next Level You. It's a more recent episode in our feed, and it's with my business coach actually that I hired in January after getting off the filming of The Big Shot, and just looking at my own brand. Where can I tighten things up? Where can we, yeah. you know, where should we be focusing in 2021? What do we need to let go of in 2021? Sometimes it's easier mm-hmm. for someone neutral to kind of help you cut ties with things and people that aren't working and build in the right direction. So she has this whole strategy called making decisions as you're already that next level version of yourself, right? So what does that mean? Mm-hmm. That means that somebody comes to me today about a collaboration and I don't have time for it, right? But it's my dream partnership. I've been literally envisioning working with Coca-Cola or Chanel or whoever it is for 2 years now. Okay, so it's like, I'm going to look at my schedule, right? What would next level me do? This current me is very stressed. She's busy. She doesn't feel that she's maybe worthy of that partnership yet, or whatever our own limiting beliefs are in that situation. But next level you would, you know, maybe she would sit down, go over her schedule, offload some things to her assistant, or hire somebody, right? Maybe she doesn't have an assistant yet, but now she's going to be generating more income and could be able to spring temporarily, at least for that assistant, and give it a try. So it's kind of just up-leveling yourself even before you're there yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think this is amazing, actually. I think something I talked about a little bit in one of the solo episodes, that I was saying that you know, sometimes when this opportunity comes along, you're like so excited and everything, but then you realize like, you know, you have already so much on your plate and you're like, yep. Oh my God, I'm going to spread myself too thin. And this is when you realize like, no, I need help. Like I need to hire, yep. Maybe you cannot hire someone full time, but you can hire an independent contractor just for some project. That's exactly. Something, honestly, it has been so helpful for me that sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I need to shoot this content, but I don't know how I'm going to shoot it. I need to hire a photographer just for this. Like, and sometimes, not going to lie, that really, it helps so much to just take a little bit off your plate. And it's just like, sometimes I feel like you really need to see that as an investment, not just like a deduction from whatever you make from your
income. Totally. Exactly. And so that's why thinking of it as you're already that next level version that has that whole team, really looking at your life from that vantage point, like you're almost looking down, right? Like you're pretending that you're already her or him, and you're already, you know, at this really successful point that you're hoping to be at, and you're making decisions from up there rather than down here where you're stressed, or maybe you're strapped for cash, or maybe you're overcommitted or whatever, even with dating, right? Like I like to use this example, like yeah. When, if a guy, you know, cancels plans on you once or twice, what would next level do you say? She would be like, no, thank you. Next. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
sometimes
exactly.
If we get too wrapped up, we're not living in our power. We're not owning our self-worth every day. We might in a weak moment say, okay, fine. We can reschedule again. But no, that's not
yeah.
Next level.
No, you're like, I deserve better. Move
exactly.
On.
Exactly. And it's, I mean, look, I'm not saying you have to go tell them to fuck off. I mean, you can, but I'm just saying you would just own what you're
yeah.
Worth every single time, you know, and figure it out. And it might, that next level youth thinking inspires creativity, you know, like
it really does.
Even if it's just independent contractors, like you said, you feel so supported, and then that can help you get to the next level.
It really does. I don't even know honestly how to explain it, but it seriously just does. It's almost like you're like valuing yourself for actually what you are worth. Because I think sometimes yep. We don't realize we are like our worst judge. Like we are judging ourselves so hard. Everyone else around us probably thinking like we are doing so well, like we are so successful. But
you're doing great, sweetie.
Right. Chris entered the chat. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, I feel like we are so harsh on ourselves. Like, we have to kind of, like, really realize, like, what is our big potential that we can say. So speaking of next level, how did this HBO opportunity actually came along? And what was it like really working with these great people? Because I'm pretty sure, like, when I even watched the trailer, I'm like, oh, my God, I would be so intimidated being next to Bethany. I would be like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Like, I'd be hi.
She's got big dick energy. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, I'm teasing. I mean, that would love, because she says in one of the episodes that, quote unquote, I'm a pain in her dick. But she doesn't fire me, right?
So it's funny.
Like, you're not really sure. Do you love me or do you hate me? You're intrigued. You want more, you know? So yeah, no, I think, look, it was the most incredible experience. So they found me through Instagram, right? So that's why mm-hmm. Building out these arms of your business, even though sometimes we might not see them always as generating revenue, right? When you're not
yeah.
On a campaign or whatnot, but it really reminded me how much value there is in building these online platforms, not just your website, right? Instagram is like
yeah.
Your business card now, you know? And that's how they found me. And I think that's how, because I have, my bio looks professional, you know, it used to list that I had the headphone company. It lists that I'm on the board of UNICEF Next Gen. It lists the podcast. So it,
yeah.
You know, and that I'm a DJ. So I looked like a multifaceted entrepreneur. And I think they wanted somebody who hustles to come in there. And, you know, that's probably like a character type that they were thinking of. None of this is confirmed. This is just, you know, my guess on why I was a fit. And then, you know, obviously there's lots of people on Twitter saying that we have like, we're very similar, or we look alike, or we're both big and loud, energetic people, petite energetic people, maybe. I don't think they meant big, but so yeah, I mean, it's, I think that's kind of why they found me. And then, you know, it was a process really to convince them that I was worthy to go on this job interview, right? Because it was yeah. Really a job interview / competition more than a reality show.
Yeah, for sure. How was, like, I know, like, in the show, I know, like, they cropped, like, more, like, dramatic parts and, like, the parts, like,
yeah.
You and Bethany, like, not getting along, you wearing, like, crop top and Bethany getting upset. That part was so funny because I feel like that is legit something that I would do. Not like wear a crop top, but like maybe wear like shorts to a job interview. That's like totally something I would do.
I think we've been working for ourselves for too long. Like I just didn't, it didn't even occur to me. America kind of loved it. I mean, some people hated it. Some people loved it. So, you know, let's put it this way. She'll never forget me, you know.
And that's a good thing because, you know, you really want to, you know, bring that thing. Because you know what this reminds me? Although they are like in different genres, but I think there are people who are in the show who are always like portrayed as like the, you know, worse, the bad. They are always like more successful and like the popular ones. I don't know if you watched like Selling Sunset, like the girl, Christine Queen. She's like, everyone is like always like maybe not liking her or like thinking like she's like the bitch, you know, whatever. But she legit like came out like really nice. Like she's popular and she's like recently hosts like MTV Awards or something. I'm just saying, like, I feel like there's always a way that, you know, people want to make certain people look the same way because of just views. I feel like people never understand it. Like in reality TV, there's always like big conversations, but they cut like certain parts to make it look like views.
I think I have a very complex character arc, right? So in the beginning, maybe in like episode one or two, you're like, who the fuck is this DJ Rosé girl? Like, she's extra, you know? You're like, I don't know if I could like handle her at a party. Like I might have to just like stick an IV of rosé in her so she shuts up or something. And then like a little later, you know, episode three and four, you see that like I didn't mean to cause the drama with Bethany and I was genuinely confused, right? Because or else why would I be so upset?
You're like, I'm so
I didn't understand how it spiraled, you know, out of control so intensely. And then you see, you know, in episode four is you know, you see a great final product of my video on HSN. You see, you know, my charity video. So you get to see a lot more of my work ethic, I think, come through. And I think, you know, and that I'm competitive with myself, but when it comes to the other contestants, I had a lot of compassion for them. You know, I didn't try to get Corey fired when we were on the chopping block together. I love Corey. I don't want to see Corey go. And I told her honestly, and she looked at me with like, I had five heads. She was like, what do you mean? I thought you were the bitchy one. You're nice. Shit. I can't even make this decision right now. BRB.
No, this is what I'm saying. I feel like people love to just like, you know, judge things. Like people just love to judge so fast, like very easily. Yeah. I can't even say this from just out of social media. That's hence reason I deleted my Twitter. I'm just like, I can't. Twitter sometimes like even gives me it's such a judgy place. I swear, like you will put like one thing, people are like, this. I'm just like, wow. I didn't know you had
like, Twitter needs like built-in meditations or something. Like before you tweet, do you want to meditate first? Would you like a Xanax? We can send one to your house. No, just kidding.
I swear though, like it's just such a crazy place. I'm just like, no, you need to calm down. Okay, so since like sometimes like this gets to us, I feel like especially social media wise, like it is very important to just like, you know, just come back to yourself and think about like what you're doing for. And sometimes it's easy to just like compare yourself to other people and like, you know, not be as motivated, you know, just like pursuing your dream. So what would you say some things that you do regularly or sometimes you do once in a while when you feel kind of like stuck or in a rut that like you're like, oh, I can get out of this through certain ways?
A great question. In that photo shoot where I was about to lose my marbles, if they're still up in there, I went into the bathroom and I wiped off those little tears and I was like, nope, that's not what you're going to do. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, you're a fucking queen. Go out there and treat her like a queen. Act like a queen. Pull yourself together. Give your best work. Go out there and get it. None of this bullshit. Get over yourself. You're fine, girl. Dusted my shoulders off, fixed my mascara, and then ran back out to the photo shoot and did my job. So I think that's like a mindset hack, right? It's like that mantra I know works for me. You might have a different mantra that works for you. It's like if you are in a bind, you're in a really bad place for whatever that 1 or 2 minutes that you're really feeling like your energy is about to shift, you're kind of like entering freakout mode, I can snap myself back using that mantra. Another thing that I do, I mean, just in general, I have a whole morning routine, and this is actually what we're going to be teaching when we roll out the mindset mentorship this summer. If anybody's interested, I have a freebie in my link in bio about using your morning to manifest. So that
I can put that in episode notes for sure.
Thank you. And that's just a great free resource for people who are like, what is she talking about? I want to know more. So those are like my top, you know, tips for this written down more succinctly than I can say them. But if you use your morning to get so clear on your goals, on your values, on your purpose in this world, that helps you focus your entire day. It's like you're just reminded of your North Star constantly, even when there's so many distractions like DMs and TikTok and emails and, you know, friends. And I mean, there's so many dating apps, right? Fuck my life.
Yeah.
But there's so many distractions, and using this mindset tool every single morning that we help people develop will keep them grounded. Also just making sure you work out, right? I mean, just go on a run, do some yoga. Like even if you have 10 minutes in the morning, 15, 20 minutes, it can make a huge impact in your level of calm and your level of clear-headedness throughout the whole day.
For sure. There's this like TikTok video, and I honestly don't remember which one was it, but it literally just like very explains like so close to this. It's like sometimes like I legit just go to gym, you know, like for 2 hours, whatever. But like imagine being that in headspace. Yeah, working out, but how calming it is to like not to talk to anyone, do your thing. It's just so like relaxing. People just don't realize. That's like something I do regularly. It's like I'm like, if I just go to the gym, it's just like kind of resets my mind. I'm just like,
yes.
Like I can't.
It's just like
on.
No phone time, right?
Exactly.
No phone time. Like you can't, no. I don't know. God help you if you're running on a treadmill and trying to send tweets. Right. I mean, like, that's
I know
dangerous.
I admire that, but I'm just like, no, like, no,
not doing it. Not today, sweetie.
No. Okay. So speaking of these, how did pandemic affected you overall? I know like for, you know, obviously HBO came out for you, so that was amazing. But any aspect that changed for you? I know for me, I would definitely say like, yeah, like it might look like it was bad most part, but I think it did teach us so many things that we need to learn. I realized like I was working way too much and I had to take some time for myself.
Yeah.
And that really made me realize like, wow, like I wasn't even paying attention, because I remember I was legit like so scared when the pandemic hit, you know, in the US, like in March, and all mm-hmm. my collaboration shoots, everything got canceled. I was freaking out. I was like, okay, I don't know how am I going to like pay things. How am I going to do it? But then I realized like, oh my God, I was doing so much, like a lot that I was never thinking or blocking time for myself. Whenever there was availability on my calendar, I was like, okay, sure, I will book that shoot. Sure, like you can do that. But that's something it taught me. Anything that you can share?
I think that's a great lesson. I hope everybody heard you. So say it loud. You know, I'm just kidding. No, that's a great thing. So you're basically saying that it reminded you that you need to work a little less and make sure that you stay grounded in who you are and what your goals are, right? And so that's kind of what I was saying with like using your morning routine to just get yourself grounded every day, so that instead of having to go play catch up, you're kind of getting out ahead of it, if that makes sense. I feel you too. So the pandemic was a blessing and a curse for my business. But once again, let me be honest, I only try to look at things through the lens of positivity, because if you have a positive mindset, you'll always win, right? In life, you just can't lose. If you can always eventually just get your brain to think about what might be positive in a situation, you can always make lemonade out of lemons, right? So
exactly.
For me, you know, it was the same experience as you. Content creation, influencer gigs, as well as, you know, DJ events and gigs, everything went away, trade shows, just every single thing. We had over six figures and things booked. And it all disappeared in a couple of days, right? And I tried not to panic. I leaned in really hard into my self-care, into my morning routine, into my meditations. And then, you know, this opportunity arose, and it took some time to really land it, right? It was an intense process. They really wanted to make sure that people were a good fit. And it was probably complicated, right? Because it was a job interview for the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I'm sure that was, you know, for them was complicated to figure out who made sense to pick. But yeah, I think without the pandemic, ultimately, I would have never been able to leave for the amount of time that it would have required for filming. I would have been in contracts. And then had I decided to do this, I would have been in breach of contracts. And who knows, some clients might have said, cool, we'll take your replacement or whatever. But you never know, some people want you.
Yeah,
right? It's why they hired you, because they want to work with you. So I'm lucky that I didn't have to, you know, make that decision, because that would have been a really peculiar, you know, situation to be in.
And I'm glad you said it from like the very beginning. You always look at things from a positive perspective. And I think that's so important. Even sometimes, like, I know I am such a big overthinker. Like I have this like endless cycle that I can just like go, like it will never end. But then I started to like change my perspective on like just looking for solutions instead of just thinking about dwelling on those problems forever. Because like thinking about problems only just gonna make more problems. Like it doesn't just like, instead you have to think about solutions. I know for sure, like, yeah, Merce, we cannot find a solution for every problem. I know that. But I think even just thinking about it, like the what you can take out of it, or even if it was a failure, what you learn from it, I would be like, okay, yeah, that was a failure, but I learned something from it. And that's all, that's the only thing you can take away from.
So agree with you. However, there's one thing that you said that I know is wrong. So when the world, God, the universe, whoever you want to believe in, creates a problem, there is the solution. Energetically, it has to be that way. There is a solution that's also created. When we are so focused on the problem, we have blinders on, we cannot see the solution. And so I agree with you about having a solution-oriented mindset. I think every entrepreneur, a successful one at that, right? They probably have that kind of solution-oriented mindset, or they wouldn't have, you know, being an entrepreneur is like problem solving every single day, right? Being a DJ, if something goes wrong every single event. So very similar in that respect. But I think what I do, what helps me identify the solutions, because sometimes they're not readily available, right? If you're thinking too much about the problems, then you just get more problems, like you pointed out. When I step away, right? It's like when I'm running, when I'm meditating, when I'm like, I call my meditation sessions like the entrepreneur's brainstorm, because that's when, like, when I clear my mind, I'm calm, I'm not focused on the problems or responding to emails or getting this project done or whatever. That's when the ideas flow. That's when the creativity flow. I read recently an article about like Steve Jobs and Benjamin Franklin and some other like very successful people, how they used to block off something called non-time in their schedule. And I think, I mean, that's probably what I do when I block off meditation time. You know, it's just time where you just do nothing, or maybe you go on a walk. Maybe you have your best ideas in the shower. But when you can relax and like take a deep breath. I mean, I have mine over a glass of rosé, but you know, that's when a lot of the solutions will just naturally come to you.
Mine is a crazy time. It's always like first sip of coffee. Like that first 20 minutes is like heaven. I swear, I'm not even kidding. I'm just like, wow, I can legit do anything. Then I'm just like, it goes away. I'm like, okay, next day, tomorrow, it's cool. Okay, so I want us to conclude with some mental health tips, because I think that's so important that a lot of people, you know, not mention so much, because I know it's difficult to just, you know, dealing with your own thoughts sometimes. It's like, you know, you always tend to, you're just like, you know, I'm okay, I'm strong, I'm good. But I think it's also important to realize, like, sometimes it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to just understand that, like, things are maybe not working out or things are tough. And that is okay to accept it. I remember for myself, again, when I was saying in March, it's like, that was very tough for me that time. I was legit, like, I was not, like, I was so depressed. I was like, maybe this is the end of, you know, my career, that, like, you know, I have to start over. So, but I had to just take some time and just like see what is more worth for me and what other channels and opportunities I can create for me. But it was very hard. Like, I don't want to lie that, like, saying that, you know, it was easy, because I think on Instagram or like social media, we just tend to just, you know, show our highlight reels, and like, it's just like, yeah, it's all great, it's amazing, going to events, going to places, but it's just not always that good. You know, there are times like there's so much story behind that really happy image that I am posting, that like maybe I'm not happy, or maybe I was just not in the moment that time, but I had to do it just because I had to, you know what I mean? So do you have anything that you can share that, you know, helps you to just deal with your thoughts, with the mental health?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think it's a lot of things. I think meditation, like I mentioned before, is so useful in calming down your mind, calming down your nervous system, allowing creativity and good ideas to come in so that you can problem solve, right? When you're stressed, you're not going to have the solution. So meditation is so important. Having a solid morning routine, adding that structure to your day, especially if you're an entrepreneur or a creative, I think just having a solid morning routine, maybe it include some reading or some studying of a new topic, you know, your exercise, maybe you have a meditation, right? You put all that together and then you start your day like that plus coffee, you feel like you're, you know, superhuman. I think also just recognizing when you are approaching burnout before you're there, right? So making sure that if you know, like just getting to know yourself a little better. So I know for myself, if I have too many planned activities multiple nights in a row, I'm going to start getting stressed, especially if I have gigs, I have events that I'm attending as a guest, and then I have multiple friend dinners or dates, it's going to be too much for me. So I know that every couple of nights I need to put in me time. It doesn't matter who tries to commandeer that time. It's me time. And I have to hold true to that or else I'm going to be getting into burnout land. And then I can't function at my best, right? So it's kind of just about knowing yourself and knowing what you need when you need it, if that makes sense.
No, for sure. I think that is something not a lot of people realize, especially like, you know, from the outside when people follow you and you're the creator, that like, you know, sometimes when you take a break or something, they're like, why are you not posting more? Why are you not doing this? Because I remember I took like recently, I don't know, like a week or a week and a half break. I got DMs that are like, you took a long break or whatever. I was just like, I mean, yeah, like I wish that I can post more sometimes. Yeah, but it just does, again, I feel like burned out that like I need new ideas. I need to be more creative and everything. And it's just important to, again, like take time for yourself, like to realize.
For sure.
Yeah, or to realize like, you know, what is something more for you and like what is something that's really making you happy, because it's really important to like, you know, live the actual life that you have, but also, you know, create the life or the persona, I would say, on social media. Because I think sometimes, like, although our job is social media, but that's not just mean that that's also our life, because that's just part of our lives.
Exactly. I agree. And then, and even like, this is something I've talked to other content creators about, is limiting phone time, limiting social media time, get some structure around it. Because when you're not structured, then you wind up just being on it all the time.
100%.
You're like, did I even respond to everybody? Like, did I get anything done? Did I put that post up? You know, and then you feel kind of flustered about it. Another thing I wanted to mention too, that I truly believe in, and I've been trying to practice more in my own life, is breaking through like your uncomfortable zones, right? Like breaking through fear. So whether that be, you know, asking for more responsibility at the job that you're in, for me, I was really nervous when the day that the Big Shot was launching, because I didn't know how I would be edited. I didn't know how America would receive it.
Yeah.
I didn't know how people were going to like it. You know, there's so much on the line, because it felt like something I put my heart and soul into and spent a long time on. And I was nervous, right, for America to see it. And so I booked a kiteboarding lesson, which I had never done before. It was hard as shit, but now I'm all the stronger for having gotten over those first couple of hurdles in my first lesson. So that broke me out of my comfort zone, just like filming The Big Shot did. And every time we break out of our comfort zone, we believe we can do a little bit more. So just making it a regular practice to like learn something new, try something new, do something new, whatever it is, it could be work or personal, I think it's just so great. So important.
For sure. So where can everyone find you? So I can, you know, put your links in the episode notes so they can follow you.
Thank you so much. That would be great. So my Instagram is Nicole Rose Stillings. But if you type in Nicole Rose or Nicole Rose, you will have no problem finding me. And our podcast is just Big Queen Energy Pod on Instagram. And that's actually the URL as well. So Big Queen Energy Pod.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nicole, for coming to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure.